Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
He is the editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. You know, in the sports bar, we only talk to the best and brightest minds, Gene. Chris Trapasso, staggering and stumbling on my words all afternoon today. Chris Trapasso joining us here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Chris, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Chris, appreciate it always. And so the Bills making some moves today. Streeter came in for a visit, but I think we're more curious about Cyrus Kwanjo because here's a guy that when we last heard was running half naked through a field. So obviously there's something else going on. But from a football standpoint, assuming he got everything right, is this move, in your opinion, at all surprising that the Buffalo Bills released their former second-round pick today?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, obviously there is that off-field caveat, and he did have a hip injury this offseason after a fall at home. So there's a little mystery as to what's really been going on with Kwanjo this offseason. But most of the time, and I would say very rarely, do we see a team release a young offensive lineman who's shown that he can be a capable left tackle. Kwanjo filled in for an injured Cordy Glenn last season very well. He didn't play 9, 10, 11 games, but in the 5 or 6 games that he had to play some left tackle, some, you know, extra offensive linemen in those jumbo sets, he certainly looked the part. And obviously, left tackle is that premier offensive line position. And he's still only 23 years old. He's not 24 until the third week in July. So there could be some other injury concerns, some off-field concerns. And obviously, it's a completely new regime here in Buffalo. But just from an on-field standpoint, Kwanjo was really coming into his own as a, you know, guy in his early 20s in the NFL.
Chris Trapasso is the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com. Good with his time this afternoon, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. So, Chris, I guess we hope that Cyrus can get right and eventually maybe latch on to another team, although we'd hate to see him have success in another team when he could have it in Buffalo. But where does that leave the Bills now in terms of their offensive line?
Yeah, and that's another reason why I was a little surprised with this move, again, not knowing all the background information, because the Bills have a decent amount of offensive line depth, and I think every team, every fan, every member of the media wants to have every position have 4, 5, or 6 really good players at it, but that's obviously just with the roster limits not really possible or feasible throughout an entire roster. They drafted Deion Dawkins. They traded up for Deion Dawkins in this draft, so I think that was kind of the reason that it kind of made Kwanjo expendable as an offensive tackle. They have Jordan Mills. They re-signed him after a pretty poor season. They have a few other guys, Michael Ola, who was really just a jumbo package guy who would maybe see 5 to 10 snaps a game at most. So there's a decent amount of depth, but there's not enough, again, that made me think that the Bills would be fine with getting rid of a 23-year-old who showed that he can play left tackle in the NFL.
Streeter comes in, and he's bounced around Raiders, 49ers, played a year at Alfred State, which I found kind of interesting, seeing that they just went Division III a couple years ago. But for Streeter coming in, is this just another guy, another body, camp fodder, if you will? Or can we read into this just a little bit? Should we be concerned at all about Zay Jones? And I suppose we'll learn more tomorrow, Chris, when Sean McDermott will speak to reporters. And to me, that's question number one. What is going on with Zay Jones here?
Yeah, I definitely think that would be the first priority for the media to ask Sean McDermott tomorrow. I wouldn't say that Streeter was brought in or that it was an indication that Zay Jones' knee injury is very serious. I think more than anything, and although this is a completely new regime in Buffalo, like I mentioned, last year I think it would be easy for a lot of those guys to look back, and I've mentioned this before on this show, at Sammy Watkins went down. Robert Woods had an injury. Greg Salas got injured after the second game of the season when he caught that long touchdown against the Jets. and the Bills really had nothing in their wide receiver group. So guys like Andre Holmes, Philly Brown, Rod Streeter, these are not guys that are necessarily going to catch 70 passes and have 1,000 yards. But I think the Bills, and, you know, I was just talking about depth on the offensive line, I think the Bills want to give Tyrod Taylor a fair shot in what I think is a make-or-break season for him, that if there is an injury or two, the Bills aren't looking at, you know, Brandon Tate, who's a primary punt returner, as their number two receiver. Rod Streeter has shown that he can be a number three or a number four type of guy. So I don't think that he's someone that they're saying, hey, Zay Jones is going to be out for the season, let's bring in Rod Streeter. I just think that they want to kind of insulate themselves if there are any injuries at that wide receiver spot.
Chris Passo, BuffaloRumblings.com, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia in releasing Cyrus Kwonjo today. The Bills also released quarterback Josh Woodrum, making room for Streeter. And then tight end Wes Saxton. First, Chris, what do we know about Wes Saxton? And two, does this close the book on the opportunity to get Gary Barnage?
I would say it probably does close that opportunity with Barnage, that you would think that he would have been more of a priority, because we didn't really hear about even Wes Saxton coming in to visit for the Bills. What the most interesting thing about Wes Saxton is, if you go on the website Mock Draftable, which does a great job looking at combine numbers and comparing players at specific positions to other players at the combine, his number two comparison, or the guy that he's the second most like in the NFL, is Garrett Graham. And if you're wondering who Garrett Graham is, he was a number two or a number three tight end for his entire career in Houston. Mm-hmm. And from 2010 to 2013, Rick Dennison, who's the Bills offensive coordinator now, used Garrett Graham fairly well. He wasn't, again, you know, a elite tight end, but I just think from a size, speed, athleticism standpoint, there's a very close similarity there, and I think that's why the Bills were interested.
Chris Trapasso is the editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. So Monday was a fun day because, out of the blue, hey, look, there's Doug Whaley giving comments to SiriusXM. I'm sure you've heard all the comments that Whaley said. What were some of your biggest takeaways in Whaley's first public comment since he was fired?
Well, I think, first off, he did show a fair amount of class that he didn't back away from anything. He said, you know, kind of what he had been saying throughout the entire time that he was the Bills GM, that it's a production business and the Bills just didn't win enough games. He didn't say anything on the way out about Sean McDermott or anyone, even Brandon Bean. He did take a little bit of a shot at Rex Ryan, saying that he thinks Sean McDermott's teams will not beat themselves. Could kind of read into that and, you know, kind of think that he was insinuating that a lot of Rex Ryan's teams over the past 2 years beat themselves with penalties and just dumb decisions on the field. But I think overall it was really a good interview that you don't want to be someone that you get fired, and if you want to have any chance to get another, you know, job in a front office or another GM gig, you don't really want to go out and kind of bash your previous employer.
There's no chance he's getting another GM. I mean, Chris, we've talked to a couple people since that interview, and I can't find anybody that thinks Doug Whaley will be in line for another GM job. It just seems like that's such a rare occasion in the NFL where you get that second chance.
Yeah, it's so weird that we see head coaches get recycled a fair amount, but GMs rarely get that second chance. Rick Spielman, who is in Minnesota right now, was the Dolphins GM in the early 2000s. So I think it takes a while to kind of get back up in the good graces of owners and just of other personnel people. But if Doug Whaley wanted to even get a job as a director of pro personnel, where, again, I always mentioned that I think he did a good job on the trade market, on the free agent market, didn't want to necessarily say anything bad about the Pegulas or about the guys who actually came in after him. So I think it was a pretty good interview, and it was interesting that he kind of said, hey, we kind of left with a parting gift, giving the Bills two first-round picks in the 2018 draft.
Chris, do we throw the BS flag on that? Because, Andy Reid is not friends with Doug Whaley, but he certainly was the boss of Sean McDermott. So, are we really led to believe, according to Doug Whaley, that he was the guy responsible for the trade down on that first opening night of the draft?
Yeah, I don't think it was 100% Doug Whaley. Do I think that Doug Whaley had absolutely nothing to do with it? Probably not. I think he was in those discussions. And it's really interesting because going back all the way to 2013, in that draft, there was some speculation or some talk that Buddy Nix as he was kind of leaving as the Bills GM. And he said, hey, I kind of gave the Bills EJ Manuel. I wanted to give them a quarterback as a parting gift. And people were kind of like, hey, was this Doug Whaley? Was this Buddy Nix? And now we're kind of seeing it in reverse where Doug Whaley gets fired, and now the Bills are actually set up very nicely for the 2018 draft.
And real quick, Chris, one more thing that Whaley mentioned, how, you know, one of his proudest moments as GM was being able to find a talent like Ronald Darby in the second round to see his rookie year, him be as productive as he was in his rookie season. He failed to mention that, you know, he struggled mightily last year, and when you consider he's a guy that was drafted to play man-to-man in Rex Ryan's defense and now has to switch his style of play to play more zone in McDermott's Steve. I mean, what does the future hold for the proudest moment of Doug Whaley, Ronald Darby?
Well, I think that was a really telling comment from Whaley, because if you think back 2 years ago to that draft, at the time, the Bills secondary seemed pretty loaded. They obviously didn't have that first round pick after the Sammy Watkins trade the previous year, and everyone's waiting for the second round pick. They were thinking it was maybe receiver, a few other positions, and they pick a cornerback. And at the time, Doug Whaley said, hey, this was the best player on the board. And we saw during his tenure that he potentially, you know, reached for need. But with that pick, I think he said, hey, this is the best player available. We have Leotis McKelvin, which they had at the time. We have Stephon Gilmore. We have Corey Graham. We have Aaron Williams. But let's take the best player. And I think that paid dividends. And I think if Whaley would have done that a little bit more, then he probably would have been more successful in the draft. As for Darby, I think we'll actually see him play more in the slot. Not that that means he's the number three corner, but we see a lot of offenses put their best players to try to get a mismatch in the slot. And I think just being a smaller, very athletic, quick twitch cornerback, I think that slot position is a lot better suited for Ronald Darby's game.
We're talking Bills football with Chris Trapasso, the editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com here in the Sports Bar on 95.7 ESPN. All the Bills draft picks are signed now. Nate Peterman signing with the Buffalo Bills, and it's not a surprise. With the new CBA, you rarely see these holdout sort of situations. But with Peterman signing, he's the guy from the new regime. You have a holdover in Cardale Jones. You have T.J. Yates. You know, obviously, Tyrod Taylor would have to do something in order not to be the star week one. But how would you assess the quarterback battle here as we are just a few months away from training camp?
Well, I think for a team that has a new head coach, new GM, I think they actually have a pretty good deep quarterback room. They obviously have someone that is pretty polarizing in Tyrod Taylor, but he's shown that he can be a capable starter in this league. And I think with Peterman, they got someone that is an ideal fit for the system. He might not have the strongest arm. He's not the biggest quarterback. And I feel like we talked about this before, that he's a polar opposite from Cardale Jones, that accurate, quick decision maker, but not a big arm. Cardale Jones can throw the ball 80 yards, but his accuracy kind of wanes at times. So I think the fact that he is the quarterback picked by this new regime and played in a pro-style offense, a lot of bootlegs, a lot of throwing on the run, which is really a staple of Rick Dennison's offense, I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if throughout camp and after camp, after the preseason, if he's actually the backup quarterback going into the regular season.
I mean, Chris, regardless of the quarterback play in 2017, are the Bills looking quarterback in round one of the 2018 draft with those two, with that extra first round draft pick?
I think so. I think that if the only way Tyrod Taylor, and I've been a much bigger advocate of him than a lot of other people have been, but I think if the Bills don't make the playoffs, unless Tyrod Taylor just has an amazing season and the defense is terrible, unless the Bills don't make the playoffs next year, I don't think Tyrod Taylor will be back. We kind of saw with the Bills restructuring his contract that it gives them a pretty easy out. I think he would have to have a great season. The Bills would have to go 10-6, 11-5, lead him into the playoffs for him to kind of stick around. And I just don't think, you know, picking Nate Peterman in the fifth round, that you can go into year two as the head coach Sean McDermott and the GM Brandon Bean and say, we're going to, you know, let it ride on this fifth round quarterback. So I think with two first round picks in the 2018 draft, if things don't go well with Tyrod Taylor, I think that they will probably with that first pick, wherever it is, look at what this time seems to be a pretty good and pretty deep quarterback class.
Tyrod Taylor never says anything interesting, or at least he never said anything interesting up at the last week where everybody caught on to that comment where he said something interesting about Sammy Watkins, where he is giving him almost the backhand compliment, talking about how he's doing things before that not necessarily was doing in previous years. Chris, are we reading too much into this, or was there something revealing there that you thought Tyrod Taylor said in regards to Sammy Watkins?
I didn't necessarily read that as an insult, but I think backhanded compliment, like you said, probably is the best way to describe it. This is kind of a new age way of investigating, but if you look at Tyrod Taylor on social media, Instagram, on Snapchat even, almost every day, he's posting his workouts, all the really healthy foods he's eating. So I think whenever he's seeing someone else do that, like Sammy Watkins, I think he really appreciates that. And, you know, ever since he was drafted out of, everyone always said that Tyrod Taylor was a consummate pro and wasn't partying in the offseason, wasn't eating horrible food, was constantly training. So I think he wants to see Sammy Watkins, who he's, you know, had a very good connection with, go from just being a talented receiver and taking that next step, working a little bit harder to go from a receiver who might get 1,000 yards to a receiver that could get 1,300 or 1,400 yards.
How nervous should we be about Zay Jones' knee?
I think we should be pretty nervous. I mean, look at what the impact of Sammy Watkins not being on the field last year had on the Bills. I don't think Zay Jones is as dynamic of a talent, and he won't have that much coverage on him, or, you know, defenses won't be scheming to stop him as much as they did right out of the gate for Sammy Watkins in 2014. But Zay Jones was picked number 37 overall. The Bills gave up a fair amount for him. And I think to start your career with a knee injury, does that kind of make you a little tentative in training camp? Are you not getting as many reps there? Not getting as many reps in the preseason. I think the Bills should go as long as they possibly can into training camp or into the preseason before getting him back on the field, because you don't want him to, you know, come September for that injury to still be lingering.
Chris Trapasso is our guest. I just want to get your thoughts on the NFL owners did some kind of tweaking yesterday. The Super Bowl to LA pushed back a year. That's fine. Celebrations, okay. You need to improve TV ratings. I'm curious to get your thoughts on the 90-man roster cutdown, because to me, Chris, there's nothing worse in sports, not just in football, in sports, than the fourth preseason game. Forget it. These guys aren't making the team. This is useless. I don't even know what I'm watching half the time. So now you're making it even worse by having 90 guys in that fourth game, because you know going into that game, all right, 20 of these guys are not playing. So tell me why the NFL thought it was wise to push the final cutback till after, or the first cutback for that matter. It's just going to be one cut now coming after the fourth preseason game.
I don't have any inside info on this, but I would assume that a lot of these owners were getting some words from their head coaches, from their general managers, to push to have one more game to evaluate all these guys on the roster. And I agree, you know, there are guys, you know, with that first cutdown that are obvious players who are not going to make the team. But I think, and just from what I've kind of gathered online, that is the main reason that these coaches want that extra game for even if it's a guy to go down from 75 to 74, they want that one extra game. So that there's not guys that are fighting for a job in only three games, and it's really hard to get on the field with how many players are on the field or on the roster at that point. So I think that's the main reason that they wanted that extra preseason game.
He is the editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, Chris Trapasso, joining us in the sports bar. And good with his time this afternoon, Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. Chris, as always, we appreciate your insight. We appreciate your time. Hope you have a great night and even better Memorial Day weekend, buddy.
All right, you too, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. He's great.
Yeah, he is. Chris Trapasso, the Bills Inside Scoop, provided exclusively by Perry's Ice Cream. Life is a bowl of Perry's. Love having Chris on with us.
Love having him, and I think he set it up nicely for tomorrow because, yeah, OTAs are going on, and this is part of the Bills controlling the message where the media, during the offseason, not allowed on a Tuesday or Wednesday to be out there. Tomorrow is the day. What's the number one question every Bills fan should want answered?
I want to know about Zay Jones.
Yes.
Yes. And I don't want to be redundant and keep asking about it. But look, you just brought in a wide receiver, another wide receiver for depth. You've got an injury-prone wide receiver one, and the guy that you just drafted already has a knee sprain out of OTAs.
Well, here's the thing, and I would tell Bills fans, you are allowed to read into this, because if it's nothing, then the Bills will come out and say, hey, no, we expect him back next week. We're just being cautious here. If they just are evasive with this or not giving you any timetable, they're under no obligation, understanding in the offseason, to give you a timetable. This isn't like the regular season where you got to give probable, questionable, doubtful. No, you don't have to do this. It's OTAs. But if it's nothing, then come out and say that it's nothing and say he'll be back next week. If you don't have a definitive timeline, the less information, the more worried Bills fans should be.
Interesting point of view from Chris as well on Cyrus Kwanjo. While we don't really know the entire story, what's going on with him off the field, on the field, you could say last season, he performed at a pretty decent level.
Yeah, he would be a guy. Still, he's only 23. Okay, for a guy that came out in 2014, only 23 years old, from Alabama, offensive tackle. Okay, take the injury or the personal stuff aside for a second, and yeah, that would be the ideal guy that could play left tackle, and he did that for Buffalo last year. However, if you're running around half naked in a field in the month of April in Buffalo, there's something else going on there. And we, because of HIPAA laws, are not going to be able to find out. But yeah, all signs point to, listen, this isn't about football. This is something else. And hopefully he gets his life in order.
Cyrus Kwanjo released by the Buffalo Bills today. On the Move, sponsored by Finger Lakes Movers, specializing in all of your hard-to-move items like furniture, pool tables, and more at no extra charge. Call them today at 315-784-MOVE. Gene, let's serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. We do NFL appetizers every day at this time, and it's coming up next in the sports bar.
Brock Osweiler. Browns fans are going to laugh when they read this.
Good stuff. It's coming up next in the sports bar with Danger Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.